Holy Father, protect them in my name so that they may be one as we are one. Amen. Please be seated. So, to my great disappointment, nobody consulted me when they decided to write the calendar of readings in our lectionary. I think that's a tragedy. Maybe next time they will. So, we don't have in our readings, we don't have for today, for the Sunday after Ascension, the readings for the Ascension. But don't worry, I'm going to preach about them anyway. So, today is what I often call Ascension Sunday, or it's a Sunday of Ascension Tide. I really feel bad for Ascension Day in the lectionary because it always occurs on a Thursday. And so a lot of times we don't get to celebrate it quite as fully in the church as we would if it fell on a Sunday. But it falls on a Thursday because Ascension Day is always exactly 40 days after Easter, and it's 10 days before Pentecost. And so for the same reason that Ash Wednesday is always, well, a Wednesday, Ascension Day is always a Thursday. And so Ascension Day begins this kind of odd 11-day period, sometimes called Ascension Tide. And during that time, we kind of celebrate what I like to call the awkward in-between. It's this weird, strange place where Jesus has ascended to the Father, and yet the Holy Spirit hasn't yet come down in the way that we'll hear about at Pentecost. And so the Gospels have just ended, right? The Ascension is the last story that we have in the Gospels, and yet we haven't yet picked up with Acts yet. It's this weird, messy, the past is done, but the not yet hasn't yet come, right? It just feels a little weird. It's that kind of lost place. Maybe you felt like you've been in that lost place in your life at some point. The other really interesting thing about the way that our calendar works is that, at least for those of us in this country, and certainly for those of us who, like me, spend their lives around students, it's graduation season, right? And so I'm always fascinated that Ascension basically always falls right around the same time as graduation. And so I've been thinking about that as we read our reading for this week, and as we heard the lesson from our gospel today, from what comes to be called the farewell discourse. Now, by the way, I'll say first that the farewell discourse, although we always read it around the time of Ascension, it actually is a bit of a look back for us, because it's actually the prayer that Jesus prays in John on Maundy Thursday, on the night before he dies. And so he is, as you can very certainly tell in the way that Jesus speaks, he is preparing to leave them. He's preparing to depart from his disciples. He's preparing for them to have to carry on without him, or at least without his physical presence, as in the same way as he's been walking with them before. And so we read this rather than during Holy Week. We read it during Ascension Tide because for us it's a reminder of the way that Jesus prepares each of us, prepares us, and prepares his disciples to, well, go on without him, or without him in physical form. Right? Everybody following me so far? So I think about this a lot, as I said, during graduation season, right? This prayer that Jesus prays, this farewell discourse, for me, almost read like perhaps the greatest graduation speech of all time, right? Protect them in your name. They may be in the world. I don't want you to take them out of the world, but I want you to protect them, Lord, so that they can be safe, right? So that they can be one as we are one. So that they can carry on and continue this blessed and beautiful community that I've helped them to start over these last 3 years, right? The disciples have journeyed with Jesus these last 3 years or so, and he knows that he's about to depart from them and that they are going to have to make it on their own. It amazes me kind of the way these things layer on, right? This time of the year, for me and my students, it's a time where they have journeyed with me and I've journeyed with them for these last 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then they graduate. I say this a lot, that the worst thing about this job being a campus minister is that you get to spend these handful of amazing years with these students. You watch them transform, they transform me and our community, and then one day in May, they have the audacity to graduate. I'm over it. And yet you know that they have to, for them and for you. They're not going to stay in college forever. The disciples aren't going to journey with Jesus, walking and talking and doing those ministries with him forever. Jesus has to go. He has to ascend. And he knows that he has to ascend because they can't be who they're called to be if Jesus stays right there on the ground. Right? My students know, their faculty know, their administrators know that they can't stay there in college forever. They gotta go and make room for some other folk to come in, right? And they all have to move forward. The other thing, it's amazing the way our calendars line up, that this reading that we have from Jesus, it also, this prayer that Jesus prays, it strikes me that we're reading it on Mother's Day because it strikes me as such a parental kind of prayer. Right, it reminds me of the prayer that a parent may pray as their child is getting ready to go off to college or to go on and move out of the house, to go on and get married, to go and live their own life and do other things. Or maybe the prayer that a loving parent may pray as they know they're approaching the end of their own journey on this earth and say, Lord, protect them in your name. I've tried to do everything I could. I've tried to teach them all that I could on this earth to be the best parent for them that I could be. I have tried to teach them some things along the way. They messed up sometime. I messed up sometime. That's okay. Lord, protect them in your name so they can carry on and do all that they're called to do. Even though I can't walk with them in physical form, I can't kiss their boo-boos all the time, I can't be there to hug and coddle and love on them in the way that I want to and they might want to, and yet I know that they've got to move on too. It's amazing the way these things line up and the way that Jesus speaks is such a powerful indicator for all of us of the way that we are called to be in our own lives. Have you ever thought about this a moment? Imagine what would have happened if Jesus had never ascended. Imagine this. Jesus dies. He's resurrected. He keeps appearing before his disciples again and again and again. And he just keeps appearing before us all the time for 2,000 years. Jesus knows that that can't happen because otherwise we would have never been able to move on. Now, it would have been cool to be able to go and see Jesus go and perform miracles and preach and teach in person. I like to think he probably would still look pretty good for a guy that's 2,000 years old. But we know, and he knows, that that's not the way this ministry works. Ascension is critical. It's critical for Jesus. It's critical for the disciples. It's critical for me. It's critical for our communities. And without it, we can't be who we're called to be. Which is a lesson for all of us, I think. It's hard sometimes stepping back, giving up those things that we have loved, those relationships that we have loved, places where in our heart of hearts we wish we could be forever, and yet we know that we have to step back so that somebody else can step forward. John the Baptist did it, even when Jesus was beginning his ministry, right? John the Baptist said, Jesus, I must descend so that Jesus can ascend. And yet, and here we are at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus says, I must ascend so that my disciples can ascend themselves into the ministry that they're called to be, if you will. Now, you may have noticed in this last season of Easter, we've been reading from the book of Acts. These last 6 weeks. And I love that we do this in the Easter season. We read from the book of Acts every week because we get to see what those early disciples did in those first months after Jesus' ascension, right? So you may know, if you know your scripture, that the book of Acts picks up almost exactly where the Gospels leave off, right? Luke, and the Gospel of Luke and Acts are sort of two chapters of the same book. And so one picks up right after the other, which is wonderful. We don't get it a whole lot. And so, you know, we get to see just what those disciples do as soon, as really very soon after the ascension. Now, about a month ago in the season of Easter, I was actually preparing to preach somewhere else, and I noticed something really, really fascinating, and so I'm going to tell you about it. And that's that during the Gospels, throughout the Gospels, Jesus refers to, and actually the Gospels each refer to the 12 or so people that followed Jesus with a very familiar word. In fact, so familiar that we don't even notice it for the most part. Right? What does he call them? All right, somebody tell me, what does Jesus, friends, yes, there's another word, what does Jesus call the 12 people, or what are the 12 people called who followed Jesus throughout his life and ministry? Disciples. Thank you. Come on, Episcopalians. Yes, yes, it was an easy question, yes. Disciples, they're called disciples, right? We say disciples all the time, right? Disciples, you may know disciples are students. Disciple is just another word for student, right? A disciple is someone who follows their teacher along the way, who learns from their teacher, who, you know, receives a number of tests from their teacher. Sometimes they pass, sometimes not so much, and that's okay. You know, and the teacher continues to lead and guide them, and they learn up to a certain point, right? But you can't be a disciple forever, because that implies that the teacher is still there forever, right? Every disciple, every student, one day has to graduate. And that's exactly what we have here happening at the Ascension, if it were. The disciples finally go on and graduate, and Jesus ascends. And in the book of Acts, if you'll notice in the book of Acts, and throughout the rest of the New Testament, those same folks are referred to, those same people who came to follow Jesus from during his ministry and are now doing it afterwards. They bring on some more folk and some more folk, and those people are referred to by another name. Right? What's the other name for the people that follow Jesus?
Apostles.
Apostles, right? They're called apostles. Apostle comes from the word to send, right? To send out. And that's exactly what apostles are. They're people who are sent out to go and do the work that they have learned to do, the work that they're called to do, right? That's what an apostle is. And the other thing that's implied by being an apostle is that they're actually going out and building those communities themselves. Right? And then those apostles, they go and raise up leaders behind them, and then one day those leaders ascend, and then they go away, and then new leaders come up, right? And that's how this thing keeps going. That's how this ministry works. That's how the church has been going on for 2,000 years, right? And so, to be an apostle, this profound calling to be an apostle, is this work of stewarding, you know, this ministry, this church for a given time, and then, you know, we go on, even though it's as hard as it may be sometimes to kind of step back. We know that at some point we're called to do that so that somebody else might step up and become the next series of apostles for the next generation and the next generation and the next. So this weird season of ascension tide, right, this weird time when we sit in this awkward in-between time is a time that we have an opportunity to really think about who we're called to be in this time. It's a time to maybe take stock. If you're a person who's in the midst of a certain transition in your life, whatever that looks like, maybe, you know, you're in the midst of a career transition, maybe you're, you know, graduating or getting ready to graduate and moving on to the next thing in an academic sense. Maybe you're, you know, maybe somebody that you love has passed or is passing away, and you're wondering what life is going to look like after that person, how things are supposed to move on after that person that you've become so accustomed to in your life. Maybe you're in grief over somebody who's no longer with you, and you're trying to figure out what life looks like after that. This ascension tide, this week that we have, is a time to take stock of ourselves in the midst of that transition time, and to take a pause, perhaps, and to breathe and say, all right, Lord, the past is past, and what is yet has not yet come. So what am I called to take stock of? What am I called to carry on from this time? And what am I called to leave behind from that time? What am I called to take up that may be new, that you may be calling me to inherit, to pick up, maybe from somebody else? And what is it that I can carry from what I've learned from the journeys of my past to help me to serve in that new capacity, that new ministry, whatever it is you're calling me to do in this time. Ascension Tide is the awkward, the weird, the in-between, right? It's uncomfortable being in that messy middle. It's hard. You want to have something to cling to. You want to either cling to the past or cling to what's yet to come, but you're just in the middle. You're not quite there yet. And guess what? The Ascension Tide is a marker to kind of say that's okay, right? We all go through these seasons in our lives, and for most of them, it's not like in our liturgical calendar. It usually lasts more than 10 days, and they go, right? We observe this every year because we know that it happens in cycles in our lives where we have these moments where we're like, all right, Lord, what's next? Where are you calling me next? What's happening next? And what's back here that I need to learn from? There's this resource that I really love. I'm a big fan of what when Chuck Todd was on Meet the Press, he used to call the shameless plug, right? I'm a big fan of the shameless plug, so here it is. This series here, you'll see them in the hallways here. They have these books. These are called Thy Kingdom Come. The name, as you might know, comes from a prayer. I can't remember which one. I do remember which one. I'm just saying. But it's called Thy Kingdom Come because it's from the Archbishop of Canterbury's office, and he has different folks from different faith traditions. He has some Eastern Orthodox folks, some Roman Catholic folks, some folks from other traditions, and they reflect and give these beautiful reflections every day of these. It's actually 11 days between Ascension, which is on Thursday, up to Pentecost, up to and including next Sunday on Pentecost. And I really encourage you to avail yourselves of them. I don't know if there's enough copies for everybody in the hallway, but if not, just take a picture of the cover. They're also online. You can find them easily online. And I really encourage you to take a look at them. They have a little video for every day. That's a daily prayer reflection to help guide you through this time of transition, this Ascension Tide period. So, beloved, I hope that this time, this Ascension Tide period, is a time for you sometime this week. I hope you'll take even a few moments to just reflect and take stock and say, okay, God, you know, we're transitioning, whether you're transitioning from school or something else, or whether it's just a seasonal transition from, you know, what I've been doing in the spring, take a pause before you take up whatever's going to happen in the summer, whatever it is. I hope you'll take a moment in this season to just pause and reflect and ask God, where are some places where I might be called to step back? Where are some places where I might be called to step forward? Or where might somebody else be called to step forward in the place that I've been for however long? Right? This is a place for all of us where we get to kind of think about where God is, where God is leading us, and where God has brought us up to this point. So I pray this Ascension Tide may be a blessed and wonderful time for you, a time of joy, a time of reflection, and a time of not awkwardness in the messy middle, although that's perfectly okay, but a time that when we gather together next week and celebrate the joy of the Holy Spirit coming powerfully in our presence once again, that we can all celebrate and rejoice in the presence of the Holy Spirit in every journey of our lives together. Amen.